fire today. All right, so let's do lunch. How about five and when there's two left?
Yes.
Thank you. The glasses are broken because my kid punched me in the face. It was all in good fun. My name is Joe, and I'm a sex and love addict.
Joe.
Thanks for asking me to speak, Tim, 5 minutes ago. I make it a habit that whenever someone asks me to speak, I do, because it's not my call, it's God's call. I'm finding myself very nervous today. I was not expecting this, and I'm very nervous because I'm in just a real hard time in my life, and I need to tell the truth about it, and that is so hard. I was thinking about that actually just a second ago, like, you know, I can walk out of here after this and never see any of you again, and you're not going to track me down, and it's not going to be a big deal. I'm in a totally safe place. Nothing bad is going to happen in these next 10 minutes that's going to be lasting damage. And yet, the idea of sitting here and saying the truth about my defects, about my struggles, about what I have done in my life, is like this most terrifying. I'd rather someone be pointing a gun at me than be sitting here telling you all the truth about myself. When I read that about no animal or person be disruptive, I was like, it's funny how we separate that. Like, we're animals, you know? We have this biology that drives us to have sex, drives us to love one another, drives us to fight with one another. I was talking with Ann earlier about, you know, my kids, and about with James earlier, like, that's this idea of letting go, and I cannot let go of my kids. I cannot let go of the fact that they have to suffer, and I can't stop them from doing that, right? Like, they have their own God as well. So anyway, about me. As a lot of you know, I'm going through a really nasty divorce right now. And I think that my ex is really, really struggling with mental illness, perhaps, or just was hurt so bad by me that she cannot let go of the rage. And so I need to tell the truth about what happened in that relationship. I think that's what I'm going to do. I met her 25 years ago, and I was engaged to someone else. She was married. We did a show together, Romeo and Juliet. Yeah, we were Romeo and Juliet. And I went to that. It was we were living in New York, but it was in Tennessee. It was Tennessee Rep, and I went there with the determination that I was going to cheat on my fiance. Like, I knew I wanted to do that. I was in the relationship with someone that I didn't love. That she was a friend. That was my thing. I'm serial monogamous. I go to one relationship, find someone who was willing to, who seemed like they liked me. I would be whoever they needed me to be. I would have someone to have sex with that made me feel okay, because it was the only time I really felt love was when someone would have sex with me, because I was so insecure and didn't trust that someone could love me just for me. And then I would start to resent them because I couldn't be myself around them. And so I would go to the next one. So anyway, we slept together. We cheated on the people we were with. And this relationship somehow is different for me, and I'm not sure I fully understand why, but I was addicted to her. The sex was really amazing. I think desperate people make great lovers. And we were both, you know, desperate people. I mean, I don't want to take her inventory, but I think she probably belongs in these rooms. And so then, you know, we went back to New York, and I broke up with my fiance, and then she told my qualifier's husband, and it was just a big mess. And we didn't talk to each other for a few years. And then I decided to give up acting, and I was gonna leave New York, and randomly ran into her on the street. like a week before I was leaving. And I was coming out here to go to law school, and she's like, oh, I'm moving to LA as well. So, oh, God wants us to be together, right? So we got back together, and that's five things. And the same thing, you know, addicted to one another, sleeping together, breaking up, turmoil, cheating on one another, like both of us really just in a mess, but could not let her go, could not stop going back. And at a certain point, you know, because we are thinking creatures, you can look at yourself and be like, this is clearly unhealthy. This is a mess, right? I knew it was a mess. I knew it was wrong. I could see that we were so unhappy together. Finally, she got pregnant, and we struggled over that decision, and she was like, I can't have a baby with you. You are too crazy. So she got an abortion, and then she stopped contacting me for 90 days. And I remember lying on the floor of my apartment. Like, I couldn't even lie on the bed. I, like, lied on the floor, you know. I needed to be as low as I could. And I'm an atheist, and I prayed. I said, God, kill me or fix this. I can't take it. And so I ended up here. And I got a sponsor, and he's like, you can't contact her, you can't, you know, you got to do these steps. 90 days later, she called me, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going back. That bottom wasn't enough. So we got married and had two children. I cheated on her again. She threatened to leave me. I came back into these rooms, determined this time for my kids to do the work. And I did the work. And that was 15 years ago. And it didn't save the marriage, because the truth of that marriage and the amends that I still have to make to her one day, if she'll ever hear it, is that I married somebody that I didn't love. I married someone that I needed. I married a drug. And I told her that it was love. And as much as I wasted 15 years of my life, and it wasn't wasted, but as much as I sold myself short in doing that, I took it from her too. I took 15 years of her life being with someone who was pretending he loved her, being with someone who was pretending he was someone he wasn't. 'Thinking that I could settle for that, thinking it was good enough, thinking I could just enjoy being a dad. We sell ourselves so short.
2 minutes.
Thanks. We get this one life, you know? We get this brief second of consciousness. I was listening to this podcast about astrophysics, because I'm a nerd, and pretty much without exception, very few exceptions, all of the hydrogen in the universe was created in the first 30 minutes of the Big Bang, 13.8 billion years ago. There's more hydrogen in you than anything else. That hydrogen has been traveling this universe for 13.8 billion years, and for a second it's awake. How can we waste it? I don't want to waste it. I'm sorry I wasted mine. I'm sorry I wasted hers. And this program, what this is for me, is it just pulls the brakes, you take a look at it seriously, you tell the truth to someone else, and you say, God, I don't want to waste the rest. How can I do good things here? And so I give it all up,
as best I can every day. I try and give up my children. I try and give up this marriage. I try and give up the last 50 years. And whatever time I've got left, you know, I want to try and be a good person. I want to try and help people. And this program helps me do that. And I want to help all of you. I hope this telling my truth helps you. Call me if you want to tell me yours or you want to hear something else. Like, that's what this program does. We help each other. So, thanks. All right. We have